You're listening to The Out of the Time. I'm Pooh.
And I'm William Cooper.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'll see you in a little bit.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I am extremely disappointed and saddened that once again I was right. As early Saturday morning, a bomb was detonated in a park in Atlanta in part of the festivities of the Olympic Games, very near where all of the athletes are staying. And as I predicted, they're all now calling for legislation that will be even more draconian. And Dole has publicly stated that he is not going to push the retraction of the assault weapons ban. And him and Gingrich and all the rest of the traitors in Washington are calling for more destruction of the Bill of Rights and the cementing of the police state. And this is all ultimately going to be used to round up patriots in the middle of the night. And I don't believe it's over for the Olympic Games. Ladies and gentlemen, I feel that something else is going to happen. I don't know what. But they need that final push to carry the American people over the edge and get them to consent to whatever they want to do. And this is the best opportunity that they have to do it. Also, ladies and gentlemen, despite over 100 witnesses now who claim that they saw a missile go up and hit that plane, Flight 100, they're ignoring the testimony of all of these witnesses. They're ignoring the testimony of the pilots and the crew of the C-130 who also saw a missile go up and hit that plane. And the testimony of the crew and passengers of a small plane that was in the area. No one has been able to find or talk to the crew of the Black Hawk helicopter that I'm aware of. If someone has, I wish you would send that testimony to us right away. It is obvious, ladies and gentlemen, that a missile brought down TWA Flight 800, and that they are completely covering it up, ignoring it. When they are interviewing witnesses and they begin to talk about them, the light that they saw go up from the surface of the earth up to the airplane, they're cut off instantly. They don't even let them talk about it anymore. It's absolutely amazing. It's the same thing is happening with this Flight 800 that happened with the Oklahoma City bombing. The whole story, the truth is being ignored, and the whole story is being twisted and changed, and now they're saying that there was a terrorist bomb on board that plane, and they don't really even have any proof of any of it. And I got to tell you, an anti-aircraft missile, the skin of an aircraft is really thin, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know how many of you really realize it, but they're... when you're riding on an airplane, there is literally almost nothing between you and the outside air. Very little. Some insulation and some very thin sheet aluminum They're put together very strong. The engineering on aircraft is probably the best that there is. So the way they're constructed, they're very strong, but the skin of the aircraft can be penetrated very easily, extremely easily. So when an anti-aircraft missile hits an airplane, it does not explode when it hits the airplane. It actually passes through the skin of the aircraft into the interior of the aircraft and then explodes. And that's exactly what it's supposed to do. Also, during the Gulf War, you saw cruise missiles. And this is exactly what happens with an airplane. During the Gulf War, they showed cruise missiles going down chimneys and going into to windows and going through walls of buildings. And in every instance, they went into the interior of the building before they ever exploded. And I got to tell you, buildings are constructed much stronger than the hull of an airplane is. So the trick is that even if it wanted to explode when it hit, the missile is going so fast that it's going to penetrate into the aircraft before it explodes. So what may look like an explosion took place inside an aircraft, in light of all of this testimony of everybody, military people who know exactly what the exhaust flame of a missile looks like, and all of the people on the beach who saw the exhaust flame of the missile but thought it was a flare going up. And it wasn't a flare, ladies and gentlemen. Somebody fired a missile at TWA Flight 800 and brought that plane down. And they're going to try and tell you that it was a bomb, a terrorist bomb placed aboard that aircraft. It may have been a terrorist missile, but that's just speculation because nobody knows who fired it. Nobody knows who fired it. But somebody fired a missile at that aircraft and brought it down. Nobody knows what kind of missile it was. So all this speculation about a Stinger couldn't bring it down, or this couldn't bring it down, or that couldn't. There are a lot of different types of anti-aircraft missiles, ladies and gentlemen. Any one of which could have been used. And I have talked to experts who have qualified with the Stinger anti-aircraft missile. And they tell me that while it's not designed to shoot a plane down at 13,000 feet, it could reach 13,000 feet and blow up a plane. And as I said, there are many other types of missiles, not just the Stinger. There are all kinds. It's a huge arsenal, and not just with this country. Every developed nation in the world has anti-aircraft missiles that they either developed themselves or they purchased from someone else. So all we know is that it was a missile. I can tell you right now that the local rocket club can make missiles that can reach 10,000 feet with no problem. And they do it with things that are perfectly legal. There are rocket clubs all over the United States. There's an advanced rocketry association that people belong to, and they say in their publications and in their advertisements on how to build these rockets and things that they can hit 50,000 feet, 50,000 feet with a homemade rocket of a rocket club. And the press is trying to tell us that there's no missile that could have shot down TWA Flight 800. Well, they're not telling you the truth. The testimony of all the witnesses that saw a rocket go up from the surface of the earth and hit that aircraft are many more than enough to convince any jury in the world that that's what happened. You see, testimony of an eyewitness is not circumstantial evidence, ladies and gentlemen, unless it can be proven wrong, or unless the testimony can be impeached, or unless the credibility of the witness can be brought into question, it is considered to be fact in any court of law. And the eyewitness testimony of two people has put many, many, many men and women on death row. Right now, there are approximately a little over 100 who saw a missile strike TWA Flight 800. So, you can put it together any way you want to. Now I've got some things I got to get out of the way here because somebody has made a total boob out of himself. I never heard of DWM Communications or William E. Lauterbach. Lauterbach. But I have a letter from him that he sent to Craig Smith, and I want to read it to you. And then I have a fax here that he faxed to Adam Locke of WWCR, and I'm going to read that to you also. And as you'll find out tomorrow night, Mr. Lauterbach, and you'll find it out from Craig Smith's own lips, Mr. Lauterbach is missing something between his ears. He either can't hear, or he doesn't want to hear, or he has chosen just to blatantly lie. Which one of those, I'm not quite sure, but I'm sure we'll find out. And this was sent to Mr. Craig Smith. Dear Mr. Smith, I caught Mr. Cooper's radio broadcast in which he mentioned his integrity is being threatened because you sponsor both Mr. Cooper and Mr. Bo Greitz. Mr. Cooper seems to think Mr. Greitz is the enemy, but I don't consider a Masonic handshake by Mr. Greitz as evidence by Mr. Cooper to prove he is such. I'll bet this whole thing goes much deeper. I've enclosed a copy of a fax I sent to Mr. Adam Locke at WWCR. I also spoke to him over the phone. I made it clear that if something wasn't done soon about Mr. Cooper's obnoxious ways, I would go on radio and ask for a full-blown boycott of Swiss America, including asking the customers to return coins under the buyback policy. Good luck, Mr. Lauterbach. He goes on, I firmly believe that word has gotten out about this and that Mr. Cooper is trying to cover this story with one of his own, this Bo Greitz and Bill Cooper can't have the same sponsor story. You see, he already let it slip on last night's show that you were thinking about getting rid of Mr. Cooper and not vice versa, as he claims. Anyway, I thought you'd be interested in a copy of my fax to WWCR. It's ironic that the same things Mr. Cooper is accusing Mr. Greitz of, Mr. Cooper himself is committing. And Mr. Lauterbach, Lauterbach, William E. Lauterbach, Jr. of DWM Communications, your whole letter here is a barefaced lie. I don't know whether you did it intentionally or whether you listened to the broadcast and just can't hear, or maybe there was some static on the broadcast that night and you just inserted the words that you couldn't hear that you wanted to hear. So I'm going to go through this letter and correct you. And just in case you think my corrections are not right, Mr. Lauterbach, you can send for a tape of last Wednesday night's broadcast. Be sure and include $10, because after what you did here, you're not getting anything for free from me. And you can sit down and put it in a tape player, in a stereo set, or somewhere where you can hear every word, and you'll see that you have misrepresented what was said on that broadcast. I didn't mention that my integrity was being threatened because Swiss America sponsored both myself and Bo Greitz. I stated very clearly my position on last Wednesday night and many times previously when the subject had come up on the air from a caller wanting to know why Swiss America Trading was sponsoring both me and Greitz. This is a ministry of freedom, if it's a ministry at all. I believe in freedom. I said very clearly last Wednesday night that I believe that Craig Smith and Swiss America Trading have a right to sponsor whoever they wish. And that didn't mean anything to me. I stated that I had received an awful lot of letters from a lot of listeners, or at least people who claimed to be listeners, that's being brought into question now, stating that they questioned my integrity and my honor for accepting a sponsor who was also sponsoring a known Trojan horse, Bo Greitz, whom they said they recognized as having clearly lied to his radio audience. I have those letters. But there's a strange thing about that. none of those people called in last Wednesday night. None of them have called me since Wednesday night, and I have received no follow-up letters from any of them after Wednesday night's broadcast, which tells me that those letters, or at least indicates me that they, that those letters may be the result of a group of people getting together and trying to create some kind of a friction between Swiss Merit Trading and myself, not realizing that Craig Smith and I are dear friends. And even if I did decide to drop Swiss America Trading as the sponsor of this broadcast, Craig Smith and I would still remain dear friends. Nothing's going to change that. My worry was the perception of this broadcast by my listening audience, not my perception of Swiss America Trading or of Craig Smith. And I made it clear, Mr. Lauterbach, or Lauterbach, Jr., and I think everybody in the listening audience understood that, except for you. Now, as far as your assertion that this whole thing goes much deeper, that you've enclosed a copy of a fax that you sent to Mr. Adam Locke and spoke to him on the phone, that you made it clear if something wasn't done soon about Mr. Cooper's obnoxious ways, you would go on radio and ask for a full-blown boycott of Swiss America, including asking the customers to return coins under the buyback policy? Well, I suggest that you attempt that, Mr. Lauterbach, because while you don't think people will sue, I guarantee you that Swiss America Trading and the Hour of the Time will sue you, because you've lied in your letter here, you've lied in your facts to Adam Locke on WWCR, and whether intentionally or unintentionally doesn't make a bit of difference to me. You go on the air and do that, and you'll find yourself in court so quick that you won't even know what happened. I guarantee it. And as you've already found out, I don't say something unless I mean it. And you're wrong about word having got out about this, because I didn't hear about it until yesterday, which was Sunday. And I didn't get this documentation until today, this morning, by fax from Craig Smith himself. I didn't know anything about it. Didn't know anything about your threat to go on the air and boycott Swiss America. Again, I say if you want to do that, you go right ahead and you'll take the consequences for it. So that had nothing to do with last Wednesday night's broadcast. It wasn't a cover of any kind, period. And I got news for you. After last Wednesday's broadcast and the response that we got on the air and the letters and telephone calls since then, I don't think that Swiss America Trading is going to be leaving the sponsorship of the Hour of the Time. And at all times, as you will hear from Craig Smith tomorrow night when he appears as a guest in studio on this broadcast, you will hear from his own lips that it was me, not Craig Smith. It was me that informed Swiss America Trading that because of the response of my audience to his sponsorship of both the Hour of the Time and Bobo Grits, that I may have to drop Swiss America Trading as my sponsor. And Craig wanted to think about it and make a choice whether he could drop Grits and go with me, or whether he would have to drop both of us as a response to that, or whether there was some way that he could continue to sponsor both of us. And I had heard that if I insisted that I could not accept a sponsor that was continuing to sponsor Bo Grites, that he would continue to sponsor Bo Grites, that that had been his decision. He has never decided to drop the Hour of the Time. In fact, Craig Smith believes so much in the message of this broadcast, and you will hear this from his lips tomorrow night also. Craig Smith informed me that if I did drop him as a sponsor, he would continue to support this program by paying for the airtime with WWCR and the satellite uplink. And I told Craig Smith that no, I ethically could not allow him to do that. So, But I think this is all going to work itself out because nobody has supported the viewpoint of all of the letters that I got, and I got them all within a short period of time. So I'm beginning to suspect very strongly that it was an attempt by someone to create some kind of animosity between Swiss America Trading and myself. And but the response to last Wednesday night's broadcast and the mail and the phone calls that we've had since then clearly indicates that this radio audience doesn't care if Craig Smith sponsors the Hour of the Time and Bo Greitz. And tomorrow night, Craig's going to be on the air live in studio here to take your calls. And Mr. Lauterbach, if you would like to call and talk to Mr. Craig Smith and or me, you are certainly welcome to do that tomorrow night also. Now I'm going to read the facts that you sent to WWCR. Apparently, Mr. Lauterbach has an axe to grind. I don't know what DWM Communications is, but I would bet, I'm just guessing, mind you, this is just a guess, I would guess or bet that this guy goes around and finds guests for radio programs, and he gets paid for that in some way. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, so don't quote it, but it sounds like it is, as you will hear when I read you this fax. DWM Communications. I never heard of him. I don't know if he has a show on WWCR or not. I never heard of William E. Lauterbach, Jr. He's the general manager of DWM Communications, 1709 Northwest Avenue, Suite 103, Jackson, Michigan. And I can't read the zip number. Maybe it's on the other one. 49202 is the zip number. His telephone number, in case anybody would like to call him, is looks like either 517 or 617 563-9022. It's either 517 or 617 563-9022. Here's the fax that he sent to Adam Locke at WWCR. And apparently WWCR was embarrassed about this because when I spoke to Adam Locke and George McClintock this morning, they denied any knowledge of it. So it sounds like Mr. Lauterbach might be playing games also. I don't know. So, dear Adam, something has to be done with Mr. Cooper. Last night, he made his first live appearance since making his hit and run on Chuck Harder last week. Last night, he made another hit and run attack on a person before his weekend break. I feel personally responsible for the attack against this woman since I helped to debut her story on WWCR. She has a very interesting story to share, so I thought she'd invite some added listenership to WWCR, but I certainly didn't expect her to be attacked by a fellow client the very next night. Mr. Cooper uses a very questionable tactic in his attacks. He slanders the person and then says, "If I'm wrong, then they can sue me." That's not what I said, Mr. Lauterbach. I said, if they don't like it, they can sue me. I never say anything that I can't back up. Then he goes on. Wrong. Mr. Cooper knows no one will take the time and money to file a suit in a corrupt court system to try and get a few dollars from a man who has all of his funds locked away in a trust fund. Mr. Cooper absolutely offers no evidence after his hits. He always tells his audience to check it out for yourselves, knowing full well they won't take the time to check it and will just take his word for it. No, I don't know that. The listeners of this broadcast, the steady listeners of this broadcast, never take anybody's word for anything they've learned. They do check things out. Mr. Lauterbach, you are wrong. And when I talk about sheeple in this broadcast, I'm not talking about my normal audience. When I'm talking about America being made up mostly of stupid, ignorant, apathetic sheeple, I am not talking about the normal listeners to the Hour of the Time. They don't fit that profile. I'm talking about people like you, Mr. Lauterbach. He continues, last night was the last straw. He called this guest that was on during a Viking-sponsored hour a bare-ass liar. That's right. if, and he never names this woman in here, I can only assume that he's talking about this Pam woman who claimed that she got the blue list and the red list from a CIA operative who was then assassinated and claimed on the air that she could document everything that she said. Well, we had our agents contact her and contact the number that she gave and try to get the documentation that she said she had. And there is no documentation. She doesn't have any documentation. There was no CIA agent. She didn't get any lists from any CIA agent or from the Pentagon. And nobody was assassinated. She is, and I will say it again, a bare-assed liar, Mr. Lauterbach. You would do well before you put people on radio shows to check out their stories. I bet you also probably, I don't know if you did or not, but you may have represented the woman and her partner who claimed that she was the sex slave in the White House of every president since Nixon. Is she also one of yours? I don't know. Just making a guess, since you never check the stories out. And since you think nobody else will either, and you think that nobody else will file a suit in a corrupt court system, you're wrong, Mr. Lauterbach. I will. I certainly will. Ask Mr. Hauser. Ask Monitoring Times, who called me a white supremacist, if I won't sue. Ask anybody you want to. And I'll say this again. If you don't like what I say on this radio broadcast, and if you think I can't prove what I say, you sue me. Don't make up these silly excuses that nobody will check it out, and nobody will sue in a corrupt court system because Mr. Cooper all his money locked up in trust funds. That's just the whining. That's just whining. You see, you didn't check out your guest. I did. Your guest, Pam, is her name, is a bare-ass liar. He goes on, said, this woman sounded very sincere, honest, and credible to me. Let me repeat that, folks. This woman sounded very sincere, honest, and credible to me. I could also tell she was a deeply Christian woman. How could you tell? Did she tell you? Bo Greitz has been telling people that he's a decent Christian man for years. Just recently, he told the truth. Started preaching that Adam is God. That the Messiah, when he comes, is going to be Adam, not Christ. That he believes in reincarnation. That he was a spirit guide before he was born into this world. That he has conducted past life regression on his son. And his son, in his past life, was a World War I soldier. Mr. Lauterbach. Mr. Lauterbach, the air between your ears is escaping. It's making a loud hiss. And it is irritating. He goes on, for Mr. Cooper to call her a bare-ass liar without presenting any evidence is uncalled for and is in very vulgar taste. We have the evidence. She said she could produce documentation. She cannot. She said she got the red list and blue list from a CIA operative who was then assassinated. Yet she cannot tell us who it is because he doesn't exist. She says she got it from the Pentagon. Mr. Lauterbach, I was a member of the Office of Naval Intelligence for many years. She didn't get anything from the Pentagon. Unless she ate in the cafeteria. He says, may I suggest you request Mr. Cooper to publicly prove his case about Mr. Harder on his radio show. Have Mr. Cooper give the names, dates, times, and faces of Mr. Harder's alleged porno activities. If Mr. Cooper cannot present ample evidence to prove his case, I would suggest suspending the man until a time that he can back up what he says. WWCR can't suspend me, my friend. I have a contract with him. I pay for the airtime. They give me the airtime. They can give me notice if they don't want me to broadcast on their radio station. I can also give them notice. And I believe it's 30 days notice or some, might be 8 weeks. I have to look at the contract again. I've forgotten. But there is a specified time period. And I've told you over and over again, Mr. Lauterbach, that nobody is going to censor me or the hour of the time. I will not be censored by you or by WWCR or by anybody else. And if you don't believe that, ask George McClintock, who has tried it on several times, and I tell him to go fly a kite. Before I will be censored, I will go off the air completely. But I won't have to do that because there are many other broadcasting stations in this country who are always looking for someone to fill airtime and pay them money. And there are enough of them that I could go round robin for quite some time before I ran out of stations. I am not a professional broadcasting person, Mr. Lauterbach. I don't care whether I'm on the air or not. I am doing this simply to try to alert the American people to their coming impending doom. Simply because I can't fight the battle all by myself. I need somebody. Part of the time would probably subscribe to Veritas, and I would still maintain that audience. Not only would I maintain the audience, but typically, everybody who gets a copy of Veritas passes it around to 10 or 15 or 20 people, and they end up subscribing. It's the fastest growing newspaper in America today, Mr. Lauterbach. So you cannot censor me, no matter how hard you try. And that's exactly what your letter and your fax is. It is an attempt to skirt the First Amendment to the Constitution and censor an American broadcaster. And you call yourself the general manager of DWM Communications, which should be supporting the first article in amendment. Now, my apologies to Chuck Harder because I had no intention of ever repeating what I said about Chuck Harder on the air again. I'm only doing this because Mr. Lauterbach, I guess it is, seems to think that I was lying. Let me give you a little history on Mr. Chuck Harder. Chuck started off in Chicago broadcasting. You see, we have done an investigation of his entire life. We are still taking the testimony of witnesses and people. Why? Because Mr. Chuck Harder is promoting the alien threat from space scenario that is part of a contingency plan to help bring about the New World Order. Mr. Harder has stated publicly on his broadcast on two occasions that we are aware of that he supports socialism. He began his career in broadcasting in Chicago. He used to have a morning show. He left Chicago, went to Florida, where he started a company called F&F Productions. It occupied an office space of approximately 8,000 to 9,000 square feet. He did post-production work for theater trailers. Now, a trailer, for those of you who don't know what it is the previews of coming attractions. But you see, there just wasn't enough of that work to really support F&F Productions. So some people brought in some raw footage of porno films that they were engaged in making. And F&F Productions, according to the testimony of everybody who worked there between 1968 and the early 70s when they went out of business as Beacon Productions, because F&F Productions was eventually brought under the magnifying glass of the Internal Revenue Service, and it had to close down. Well, it was reopened as Beacon Productions, again by Mr. Chuck Harder. And again, in the early 70s, the feds shut down Beacon Productions. During this time, the main moneymaker for F&F Productions and Beacon Productions, according to the testimony of all of the people who worked there for Mr. Chuck Harder, who was the owner and manager of that company, was porno films. Porno films. And I'll just give you the title of two. You might still be able to find them. And you might find in the credits listed F&F Productions and our Beacon Productions, spelled B-E-A-C-O-N. One of them is Three on a Waterbed. Another one is How the Breast Was Won. After Beacon Productions shut down, Chuck Carter was instrumental in starting up Sun Radio Network. I bet most of you didn't know that Chuck Carter started Sun Radio Network, which he later sold. It's defunct now, went out of business. After that, he started For the People. Now, I've just given you a quick rundown. I could go into many, many details, and I could name all these people, except Chuck Carter has been known to be, to those who really know him, and we have this testimony on tape right out of their own lips, to be a very threatening and dangerous individual. That's what they tell us. One woman who came under his ire, we know, we don't know the exact reason, but we know that she was in a conflict with Chuck Carter. She went home one day and blew her brains out with a pistol. Now again, I want to say I had no intention of coming on here tonight and talking about Chuck Carter. The only reason I had to do this is because this Mr. Lauterbach called into question my statement about Chuck Carter being involved in porno films in the state of Florida and has challenged WWCR to suspend me if I could not present the evidence. I not only have the evidence, I've got enough. I've got enough if I ever need it to cause Mr. Chuck Carter quite a bit of embarrassment. But that's not the intention of this tonight. This was caused by Mr. William Eden Lauterbach Jr. My comment the other night that I made about Mr. Chuck Carter being involved in porno is to let the listening audience know who they're listening to, because they have a right to know. You have all these people out there pretending to be on your side, pretending to be upstanding, Christian, wonderful people, and many of them are not. They're lying to you, misrepresenting themselves to you, to get money from you or to gain a following from you. I don't know which of that pertains to Mr. Carter. You'll have to take your own guess. But let me tell you this. When you take anybody and put them on a pedestal, you're setting yourself up for a big fall. That's why I've always warned you, don't put me on a pedestal. Don't put anybody on a pedestal. Listen to everyone, read everything, believe absolutely no one, unless you check it out for yourself. And Mr. Lauterbach, if you're too lazy to check out the people that you represent that you're going to put on radio, and if you're too lazy to check out the people that you listen to on radio that you think are so squeaky clean and so absolutely wonderful, then Mr. Lauterbach, you deserve exactly what you get. You have deserved tonight's broadcast. And as I said about Pam when I exposed her bullshit, Mr. Lauterbach, if you don't like it, you sue me, because I can back up and prove every single statement that I've made tonight. And for those that I have made for Mr. Craig Smith, you will hear him repeat what I said tonight, tomorrow night, in his own words, absolutely honestly, with no coaching from me. Isn't it a shame that we have to go through these drills? Because of people like Mr. William E. Lauterbach Jr.
Give it.
Now let me read to you, ladies and gentlemen, one of the letters that is representative of what I've been receiving after last Wednesday night's broadcast. It's also indicative of the telephone calls that I have received. It also echoes the comments made by the callers on last Wednesday night's broadcast. And so you will see that there probably will not be any parting of the ways between Swiss American Trading and the Hour of the Time. Simply because those who wrote the original letters that instigated all of this, I guess is the word, have not deigned to make an appearance since then. Making me believe, or at least causing me to be suspicious, that it may have been an engineered event. If you know what I mean. Dear William, you undoubtedly are the most gracious talk show host on radio today, for you are genuine. Other talk show hosts may appear to be more polite, but it is not difficult to penetrate the veneer and discover they have little tolerance and little, if any, respect for their callers. Regarding Craig Smith's sponsorship of both the Hour of the Time and the radio program of Bogreitz, in tonight's discussion, I believe we all miss the crux of the matter. Consider the following scenario. What if the Washington Post, the Wall Street Journal, or the New York Times offered you daily space on the editorial page free of charge? Would you accept the offer? What if there were no strings attached and you were guaranteed that your copy would be printed without censorship and without editing? Would you refuse this platform by which you could reach the nation simply because these papers also carry articles and editorials by vile propagandists who are agents of the establishment? What if WWCR or WRNO offered to carry your broadcast free of charge and made the same offer to Bogreitz? Would you accept the offer? The answer to that is no. I believe everyone should pay their way. I would have to make some kind of token payment. I would not accept broadcasting for free. That's how you become indentured to someone. That's how you become indebted to someone. And when that happens, they begin to call for the favors. And so that can't happen. No, I would not. He continues. Is Craig Smith's sponsorship of your broadcast a fundamentally different matter? Do not the writers of articles and editorials which appear on the pages of a newspaper draw readers to the paper, thereby exposing the readers to advertisements which also appear on the pages of the paper? Do not the programs carried by a radio station draw listeners to the station, thereby exposing the listeners to commercials which the station runs every half hour? The only pertinent consideration I see is this. By allowing his material to be printed in a given newspaper or to be broadcast on a particular radio station, is an individual acting as a Judas goat with respect to his countrymen? For example, we know that the subscription list of the Spotlight and the 800 number of Tom Valentine's Radio Free America program are used to identify political dissidents. Were you to allow the Spotlight to carry your material, or were you to appear as a guest on Radio Free America, which I did, ladies and gentlemen, you would thereby lead many to unknowingly place their names on the dissident roundup list. I, for one, am thankful whenever I find a medium which will allow me to teach, divulge, or editorialize without censorship. Such media are few and far between. Unless the Judas Goat principle is involved, the motive of the sponsor is of little consequence. Perhaps we might learn something from the Apostle Paul. Consider these words from his epistle to the Philippians. Quote, some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention and not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. Philippians chapter 1, verses 15 through 18. William, you have been given by Providence, with Craig Smith acting simply as agent for that Providence, a broadcasting platform and a daily time slot which makes you the envy of almost every broadcaster in the world. You are free to say what you choose. By taking advantage of this God-given opportunity, you have given valiant and honorable service to our nation and have in no way compromised your integrity. Indeed, it would have been compromised to do otherwise. As you said this evening, we will all answer to God, but do not forget that it is only to God that we must answer. We err when we submit our lives to men for approval. In doing so, we, in effect, become idolaters, placing men in the place of God and looking to men rather than to God for our standards and rules of conduct. Consider these words recorded by the prophet Isaiah. Quote, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." End quote. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 7 and 8. And, quote, "Cease ye from man whose breath is in his nostrils, for wherein is he to be accounted of?" End quote. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 21. Finally, remember the words of Solomon. Quote, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man, for God shall bring every work into judgment, with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil," end quote. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 and 14, "I remain very truly yours, Russell." So that's just a representative letter. They've all been the same, ladies and gentlemen. All the letters have been the same. All the calls have been the same. The calls on last Wednesday night's broadcast were the same. All extremely favorable, extremely good, which, as I said, lends me to believe that that this whole letter thing about the sponsorship of Greitz's program in the Hour of the Time was invented by somebody. Maybe we should ask Mr. Lauterbach about that. Maybe he had something to do with it. I don't know. And I have a letter from my friend Dan Meter. Those of you who received your Veritas issue number 14 know who Dan is. Dan and I signed the public notice that is the headline article, which should have knocked your socks off. And he sent me this fax. "Apologies if you have tried unsuccessfully to get hold of me in the last several days. Due to the government reinitiating IRS-related charges against the Moors and Gunwald via U.S. District Court out of Tulsa, I shut off outside contact while constructing a memorandum on jurisdiction of U.S. District Courts. It's done. The U.S. District Court jurisdiction memorandum is better than the IRS memorandum." Good. I can't wait to see it. It's downstairs on my counter. But I haven't had a chance to open it yet. So, Dan, if you're listening, I have it. I will open it very shortly. "One of the last pieces to fall in place. Federal magistrate judges per 28 United States Code Service, subsection 631 and 639, are national park commissioners who have jurisdiction only within federal areas in the states, whether federal states or the several states, but their authority is concurrent with that of the U.S. District Court where assigned. The whole business links with formation of the Department of Justice in 1871, when legal matters relating to the Department of the Interior were brought under the Department of Justice authority. U.S. District Court organization in 1911, distinction between admiralty and common law jurisdiction, with admiralty separate from authority under the Article 3 arising under clause of the Constitution." And it's not in this fax, folks, but the Department of Justice was formed after the Civil War to administer military law, or martial law, I should say, in the military districts. He continues, "Where the IRS public notice memorandum cost $2,700 to print as legal notice in the Journal Record, which is the same, which is the state legal newspaper used by the Oklahoma legislature, I estimate the cost to publish the jurisdiction memorandum will be upwards of $4,000. It, too, should publish state by state, but we need to pool resources and get it published in Oklahoma as soon as possible, then follow in other states. We're postured to move into the office of the Oklahoma Attorney General and the Department of Justice with affidavits of criminal complaint thereby forcing the issue up the guts. Help if you can. And I published the IRS memorandum as a public notice in Veritas on my own nickel, and we will publish the jurisdiction memorandum in Veritas also, and each one has to be published 3 times in a row. And that will help. He says, we've received reports of people having trouble publishing the IRS memorandum. To remedy the problem, we are preparing memorandum photocopies that include Oklahoma and Nebraska certifications of publication. These should help ease publishers' fears elsewhere. And two, provide a platform of presumed fact for those who need the information in administrative and court-related situations. We will also send the United States District Court judicial notice, about 26 pages, and a 3.5-inch floppy containing both memorandums, a file of invaluable IRS and court-related particulars, and a crop of IRS administrative letters presently proving successful. We will start shipping to legal resource people and groups immediately, so the information will automatically be coming to some in the fax network. However, we would appreciate requests for the material, which include address, type of computer, etc., and donations sufficient to at least cover expense. Our cash pot is low, but we're going to spread information as far as possible. Share as you will. Tim is about through converting to IBM format, Word Perfect, and Word for Windows. Mac is in Macintosh Word. A bonus in the works. Gail has about finished the statute regulation index for Title 12 of the United States Code, which is banks and banking. There are no regulations applicable to the several states for, one, the Federal Reserve Act, two, the Banking Act of 1933, or three, the Banking Act of 1935. As we already knew, federally chartered financial institutions are associations formed to provide banking services for government employees. Then they are licensed as federal tax and loan depositories, serving as fiduciaries and agents for government agencies. It's quite an illusion, better than science fiction. We also discovered that authority for fractional reserve banking at 12 United States Code Service, Section 101, exec, was repealed in 1994. It appears that public money, premised on obligations of the United States, is the only remaining medium denominated in dollars. Here's a treat. Per 26 United States Code, Section 7851A6A, Subtitle F, isn't effective until Title 26 of the United States Code becomes law. It has never been enacted as law. Volume 68A of the statutes at large is still the real Internal Revenue Code as amended in 1986. Consequently, everything the Internal Revenue Service does with respect to assessment and collection activity, civil and criminal actions, all under color of law. I hope you know what I just said. This from Jim McCall in Indiana, by way of an attorney from somewhere else. Look it up. It's there. And I did. And it is there. And you will just all be amazed at how we've been tricked and bullshitted and lied to over the years. So, I hope tonight's broadcast has been illuminating. And Mr. Lauterbach, I didn't want to be hard on you, but you see, you can't pull that stuff with me unless you got all your marbles in one bag. And you got your marbles scattered all over town. You don't even know where they're at. So, anytime you try to do me dirty, you better make real sure, Mr. Lauterbach, that you're real squeaky clean. And you're not. Good night, ladies and gentlemen. And God bless each and every single one of you, even Mr. William Lauterbach, Jr. Late last night.